Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Human Rights Demand. Wow, you know, in the 1800s, that's the 19th century, we had a great slavery abolitionist. His name was Frederick Douglass, and he said that power concedes nothing without a demand. Power concedes nothing without a demand. And so we're here to make a demand for human rights. We want human rights for the mentally ill in the United States of America. You cannot censor it out of me. You cannot intimidate it out of me, because I am sent by God the Father. He said, let my people go. He said, such as you do unto one of the least of these, his brethren, you do it also unto Jesus Christ. I, for one, am not going to sit by in silence while you treat Jesus Christ this way. Yes, I said Jesus Christ is who you are persecuting. Jesus Christ is who you have locked in your jails, in the hole, in solitary confinement, because he's sick. He says, such as you do unto one of the least of these, his brethren, you do it also unto Jesus Christ himself. Look at Matthew 25th chapter, 40th verse. And so today, you have Jesus Christ locked in solitary confinement. You have Jesus Christ in environments where he'll be raped by prison guards and raped by inmates. Right now, you have Jesus Christ rambling around homeless. You have Jesus Christ being murdered in your jails and prisons, and then you cover it up. This is how you treat my Lord and Savior, and I would be worse than a heathen if I let it happen without talking. I don't care if all the preachers shut up about it. I don't care if all the human and civil rights organizations shut up about it. Mary Neal will never be quiet about the abuse and the crimes against humanity that are shelved out from these courts, these corrupt courts, and done to the mentally ill in America. I would be less than a heathen if I was silent about it. So you be quiet about it, because we're fixing to talk about it right now. And I thank God for this mother who came to the program today asking for help for her son. Her son was a teenage boy who was getting child support from his father. He went to his father's house on a weekend visit, and when he went into the den, he found a XXX movie was on the TV when he turned the TV on, because it was on the VCR that was hooked up to the television. So he became aroused, and he began to masturbate. There was a little boy in the house, his half-brother. His half-brother, a little boy, burst into the room where he was, and he was masturbating, and he immediately left out. He told his father what his older brother was doing. The father saw his opportunity. He knew that if his older son went to prison for exposing himself to his little brother, if he went to prison, he wouldn't have to pay child support. I said this man turned his son in to the police, and even added to the story to make sure that his teenage son went to jail, so he would be free of child support and free of this mentally ill boy who he was tired of anyway. Oh, yes, there are families all across the nation who have cut their ties to their relatives who are mentally ill. There are families all across the nation who cut their ties to their family members who may be drug addicted or who may have alcohol abuse problems. I say ordinarily people are ashamed of individuals like this boy was. They are ashamed of anyone who doesn't have a high IQ. They're ashamed of their relatives who can't keep a job. They're ashamed of their relatives who don't dress nice and drive a nice car. They're ashamed of them. Yes, there are people all across this nation like this father. When I published this information today and said we were having this show, a number of people said, what a dirty shame for a father to be that way. That's his own flesh and blood. But I say to you that if you are dismissing an aunt because she drinks too much, or if you're dismissing an uncle because he does crack cocaine, if you're dismissing your children because you feel like they live beneath the standard that you raise them, if you just put them out of your lives and don't try to help them, don't go when the police call and say, here's what their bond is, and you don't go pay it because you don't care for that child anymore. They live beneath the standard that you set. You are no better than this father. It's time for everybody to stand together for the mentally ill. It's time for everybody to stand up together for victims who have drug addictions and alcohol addictions. It's time for us to stop being judgmental, because the Bible says by the same standard that you use to judge others, you yourself will be judged. And now I want to talk to this mother about her child. Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm praising God. I tell you, I tried to call this station about 4 or 5 times, and the stalkers refused to let me get through. So what I told them, ma'am, is I said, if you don't let me through this time, we are going downtown on Peachtree Street, this mother and I, and I'm going to march for my brother, who they secretly arrested and murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail because he was mentally ill, and they will not give us any paperwork or any information about the wrongful death of Larry Neal. And I'm going to march with this mother for them to treat her son right. I was going to call you and say, let's go, sister. Let's go downtown on Peachtree Street. Let's have a press conference. Let's let everybody know how Georgia treats the mentally ill and how they treat families who will stand up and do what God said do, and that is to proclaim the day of the Lord. And, you know, we're here to proclaim the day of the Lord on this situation your son is in. Your son did go to prison for this wrongful accusation, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He did.
How long
and
was
I
your son in prison?
Oh, Jesus. He
How
was
long
in
was your son in prison?
7 years.
They took 7 years away from your son's life. Now, your son was mentally ill before this happened, and this father, he knew his son was mentally ill, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Your son was getting a Social Security check. Yes, of course he knew. Your son was getting a Social Security check before he went to prison for exposing himself to his little brother, when in actuality, the little brother just burst in the room where he was, and he was masturbating. So, your son went to prison for exposing himself to a child in 7 years.
He's
out of prison, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. He grabbed his little brother's pillow when he bust in the room. And I guess, you know, he had told the daddy that he put something on his pillow. So, his daddy just made it into this thing. Then he touched him. Then he touched you. And the little boy said no, but the daddy said yes, he did. So, you know, it was like some days later that the daddy had called, and, you know, they came and locked him up. They let him go, and then they came back and got him. So I just feel kind of responsible because that was his first time at his daddy's house. And it have been hell since then for him and me, because he was a good son. He would wake up at 9 years old by himself and go to open doors and feed the homeless. He would go to church with nobody telling him, and cut grass to have money. So it's a hurting thing because he's been disabled since he was 5. He's had a lot of issues. He had my intellectual deficiency, which he's not of his age. And but I love him. And the judge locked me up in the courtroom when they sentenced him, and because they didn't let me talk to him so I could have told him take it to trial. But he pled guilty to watching a DVD, not for touching, which they had originally said. So I just felt like it was just a really harsh sentence for what he was doing, which was nothing wrong, because people do. And the doctor told them when I was carrying them to the doctor that they could masturbate. So it's like he's being punished for being right, not wrong. So.
He's being punished for a natural occurrence. He was naturally aroused when he saw his daddy's triple X-rated DVD that was set up to come on when he turned the TV on. If anybody should have been prosecuted for that nasty DVD, it should have been the daddy, by having something that children under 18 shouldn't be have available. He had it available to his son.
He said he watched it with his daddy. That wasn't his first time, because my thing was, how can a 7-year-old child say the word nutted? And I just couldn't understand that. That just, to me,
so
it was a word.
So you're telling me that the father watched, he watched X-rated DVDs with the little 7-year-old boy?
Yes, ma'am. The little boy said it on the tape. He said it on the tape where they take him in the room. And
on the police tape?
Yes, ma'am. It's on the police tape that the little boy stated that that was not his first time. He watches them all the time with his daddy. And I really got real upset, and I kept telling my mom and my sister, that boy is lying. His daddy is a liar, you know. So they did not get him on that, but they knew. The crime scene investigator said that they could not say that that was a crime committed right then. So, you know, the DA, he knew. He said that if he really told the truth, he would lose his job.
Do you remember the DA's name? Do you remember the DA's name?
I do not, but I have the transcript of the actual court.
And so let me ask you this. Where is this court that prosecuted your son for masturbating and put him in prison for 7 years for masturbating, and his little brother came in the room and saw him? Where is the court that put your son in prison for 7 years for this?
It's the DeKalb County Courthouse, located in Decatur, Georgia. And,
so this was DeKalb County, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
And so they got your son to accept a plea deal. This is how they get the mentally ill. The mentally ill comprise, they make up 1.25 million of the inmates in America. And the way they normally, I'm finding, get the mentally ill in prison is by aborting trial. They know that they're weak-minded, and they get them to accept a plea deal, and then they can bypass a jury trial and put that person in jail ever how long they want to. I'm finding that to be the case throughout this nation. I've written about cases, and you can read them in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill. They do this with children, get them to confess, even make false confessions on themselves. And they also get the mentally ill to make false confessions and sign plea deals that allows the court to bypass a jury trial and put them directly into prison. So now we're going to go back to that. We're going to go back to the trial. We're going to go back to your son. But right now I want to talk about the fact that your son served his 7 years, and he was brutalized while in prison, was he not?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. It's so much happening.
Where did he serve his prison? Where did he serve his time?
He started off. He done been around to a lot of facilities. I'm not really sure I can name all of them, because my mind, it just goes and and just so much pressure on my brain still, and I still have another mental son that's incarcerated. So,
Listen. These are all Georgia prisons, are they not?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And
what happened to your son while he was in Georgia prisons?
He was attacked. He was attacked, you know, had his foot cut, you know, had his head busted. He done been where he couldn't use the bathroom. I don't know if it was after sexual assault that he had blood coming out of his bowels, and just a lot of stuff was going on. And
did he tell you he had been raped?
Yeah, I mean, he just told me that things happened. You know, he really didn't go into details, but
he was too embarrassed to tell you that, wasn't he?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But I was told by somebody else, you know, through a letter.
That your son had been raped in jail.
Uh-huh. That he was being committed.
You know, I'm not surprised because, see, your son went to prison on one of the crimes that other inmates feel like he needs punishment. When they send a young man to prison for child molestation, the other inmates feel like he needs punishment. And even the guards stand back and allow the inmates to brutalize an inmate who comes in there on child molestation charges or child abuse charges. And so your son was brutally raped. His head was busted with a, what did they bust his head with?
I'm not sure. I think a pipe, or something.
A pipe?
Yeah.
He has been through 7 years incarceration. You expected him to get out of jail a whole year before he did. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. It said 5 years to serve and six. That six was supposed to be on probation. But
they kept him over. This is what they do to the mentally ill. When they go to jail for one thing, they oftentimes lengthen their sentences because they make prison money off of keeping them. So a lot of times the mentally ill may not follow the prison rules down to the letter. They have behavior problems, and see, they lengthen their sentences. So the taxpayers have to pay another $60,000, $70,000 in Georgia for another year of incarceration because they lengthen the mentally ill sentences once they get them in custody. Did you know about that? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I also know that the mentally ill has a right to have an advocacy at their court of hearings and sentences that so they could understand what's going on and that they're not supposed to be held in a holding cell. They're not supposed to be subject to brutality and being mistreated, which all of them is. They're being denied their medicine. They're being denied medical services. They're being denied a lot of things. And I have went down and read in the law books about my sons and their cases because I love my sons. I love them and I will always love them no matter how they is, no matter what they do.
Absolutely.
And I was locked up.
Now let me ask you this. Your son got out of, we're going to go back to the court, okay? I want to make sure that we get it on record what they're doing to your son right now today. Because his problems did not end when he got out of prison. In fact, opened up a whole new set of problems for him. Because you live near a recreation center, is that right?
Yes, I do. I stay like...
So therefore, your son is prohibited from living with you because he has sex offender registration. Is that right?
Yes, he does. And they have really caused a lot of problems.
Let's talk about his homelessness. Ma'am, could I talk? Let's talk about your son's homelessness. In the state of Georgia, he was on Social Security from the time he was a little boy. Is that right?
Yes. Yes,
How
he was.
How old was he when he got disability?
5. He was 5 years old.
So when he was 5 years old, he got disability for being mentally ill. He got it all the way up to the time that they arrested him. Is that right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And then when they arrested him, he took mental health services while he was in prison. Is that right? He was on psychiatric drugs while he was in prison. Is that right?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was the whole time, 7 years.
And so when he got out of prison, did they resume his Social Security check so he could live and eat and have a place to stay? Did they do that? Did they start back up his Social Security check?
No, they did not. They cut it off. They knew he was in there, and they cut it off immediately, but they did not start it back. That it's been almost a year. He has not gotten nothing. He is homeless. He was told that he needs to go sleep behind the probation office since he do not have an address. He had one to get out at his oldest brother.
Who told your son, who told your son to go sleep behind the probation office outdoors? Who told him to do that?
His probation officer, I'm not sure of the name, but I have it in my phone. She's a female. She just said to me, because I spoke with her myself, that he has to have an address. And if he don't have one, he has to sleep behind the building.
So she told you that your son had to live outdoors behind the probation office if he doesn't have an address?
Yes, she did. She told me that also.
Isn't that something? So your son, who was mentally ill from the time he was 5 years old, was getting Social Security disability for being mentally ill, and now that he's out of prison on these trumped-up charges after spending 7 years in very brutal circumstances, they will not start back his Social Security now that he's out of jail because they want him to do something to go back to jail. Do you understand that? That they want to keep him in that cycle of prison?
Yes.
And so now they will not start back up his Social Security. You applied for it a year ago. You recently applied for reconsideration. Please give your phone number so attorneys can call you and help you get Social Security. Give your phone number right now.
My phone number is 404-390-7020.
And give your name.
It's Ronette Goolsby, RonettGoolsby.
All right. Attorneys, you have her name and phone number. Please help her get her son's Social Security started back. She cannot let him live with her because he has this sex offender charge against him, and she lives near a recreation center. Now they've got her son homeless, will not start back up his Social Security since he's out of prison. He's survived homeless for a year on the streets of Georgia, and the probation officer told him to come live outdoors behind the probation office, and you know they would pick him up for vagrancy. They are trying to railroad this young man back into prison rather than giving him his due support. And this is wrong, and you know it's wrong. And the state of Georgia knows it's wrong, and the United States Social Security Administration should be ashamed of themselves for working with the prison investors to rope this young man back into prison. That's all that's happening. Now, I'm going to go ahead now and turn it over to you. I just want to make sure that we got the story online regarding what they're doing to your son now, okay? So we have another 15 minutes that we can continue, and we're going to continue right now. But I wanted the world to know what they're doing to your son right now today, denying him income so that they can get him back in prison. So now that we've gotten that out, I would like for you to go ahead and tell your story any way you want to.
I sure will. I am a.
Now, you say that this was your son's first visit with his father ever. And the first time he visited his father called the police on him and put him in prison.
Yes, he did. And I'm a spiritual person. I believe solely in the Father. And I know that he has all his children protected and wrapped tight in his arms with his love and care. But it's something when you're going against Satan people, and they don't give a care about anything or anybody. And it's like what they say goes, but they are lied. The devil is a lie. I know for a fact that these people are going to be punished severely for doing people wrong. I think it's a crime that the mentally people, they are people just like us. And if you think about it, the people that don't think that they're mental is mental. They do stuff every day. They have never been in trouble. They never show signs of anything and end up killing everybody. So it to me, it's just sad how they just make a person feel like they're nothing when God says you are somebody. You are somebody, and he loves you, and I love everybody. I love everybody that people don't love because I know how it is. When people feel like, you know, don't nobody care, they look down on you. I'm a prime example. I was in Anawake, so I know what these people have. Messed up minds, people with problems. Instead of helping them, they hurt them. And my son does not deserve to be mistreated anymore. If I could get him somewhere on some private land with everything, I will, so he won't have to go through this.
Happened in the court. Tell us what happened in the court when you wanted your son not to sign that plea deal. What did the judge do to you?
Well, first of all, the public defender, she lied. She said that they was going to let me talk to him. And I guess the judge decided not to. And he went on, he said, Mama, I admitted what I did. So I'm going to go with what I did. I said, so what they trying to say, you know, and my thing was, they took the...
And when he was thought he was signing to, what he knew he did was he watched the X-rated movie. He thought that the plea deal was that he was signing that he watched an X-rated movie. He didn't know they were putting child molestation on him, did he?
No, he did not. He did not understand. He did not understand at all.
That's the thing. And they knew he didn't.
No, and they knew he did not understand. I was devastated. So Judge Mark Anthony Scott asked the parent of this child to stand up, which I did. I didn't want to because I was pissed off because I felt like you didn't ask me to stand to talk to my son. Now you asking me to stand and you want me to say something? He said that I should be ashamed of myself for being less than a mother, for not loving my son enough and putting him in this situation. I said, sir, you do not know what you're talking about. I love my son. He said, 10 days. I said, 10 days? He said, 10 days in contempt of court. I said, for what? He said 5 more days, and he locked me up right then in the courtroom. And they took me in a holding cell, and I stayed there for about 5 or 6 hours. And he asked me when I came out. They came and got me after 6 hours of holding me in there and asked me, was I going to apologize? And I said, for what? He said, are you ready to apologize? I said, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to go home. I was letting him know then. I'm only saying, whatever you want me to say, But I still disagree with what he said because I know for a fact I love my son. And I thought that that was wrong, and I looked it up, and they said a judge is not supposed to express his personal feelings if it's not pertaining to that case. It was not pertaining. I was not pertaining to that case. My son was the issue of the day, and he was wrong. He could stand me up and shame me in front of everybody. That was defamation of my character because he was a liar. And he was wrong.
And yet they put you in jail for 15 days?
They put me in jail for 6 hours because he just wanted to.
So right there, the judge wanted to lie on you and say you didn't love your son, and that's why he was in that position. And because you didn't just say, that's the boss, he put you in jail right then for contempt of court and kept you 6 hours in fear of not being able to go home to your other children because you denied his allegation that you didn't love your son.
Yes, he did.
I want you to know that my son-in-law went to DeKalb County Court last year, and the judge asked, is there anybody here who feels that they can't serve on this jury for any reason? And my son-in-law said, yes, I feel that I should be exempted. And so the judge cleared the court, and he asked, why do you feel that you should be exempted? And he said, because I don't want to be a party to having another black young man added to mass incarceration. I just can't be a party to that. So since I cannot find the person guilty, even if, you know, the evidence is presented that way, I don't feel good about it. I just want to be excused. The judge gave him contempt of court. He asked, was there any juror there who felt that they couldn't execute the duty of a juror? And when my son-in-law said, yes, I feel that I cannot, and told the reason why, the judge gave him contempt of court. That's DeKalb County, Georgia court. So that is what happens in these corrupt courts. Go ahead and tell us some more about your son.
Well, Keontae is right now trying to hold on. We went down and did a reconsideration with Social Security, not knowing that they're going to approve it or not, which the prison system did not release his record. They did not release any of his records. Out of 7 years, none of his records was sent to Social Security. I'm really trying to hold on to see what they're going to decide, because it really depends on life and death for him or being back in prison. Which I don't want that, and I know he don't want that. He did enough. He served enough. It's time for other people that did this to him to serve some time. They need to be punished. Everybody. Yeah, this child, he hasn't did anything but try to be a loving person when love wasn't given to him. And he will tell you that I have loved him since day one. He's a great person. He's a giving person. He's spiritual. He
has
don't
your
mind.
Has your son got a temporary place to live right now?
Right now, he called me yesterday and said he's at my mother's. I don't know how long he can be there because my mom, she goes through her changes. So I'm not sure.
The thing is that your mother is elderly, and your son has mental illness, and the two of them don't usually mix well living together, do they?
No, they don't.
And
my
see,
mom...
the thing is that your son needs, I'll tell you what your son needs. Your son needs an AOT program. That's a program that provides housing and food, and also ongoing psychiatric care. It mandates ongoing psychiatric care, and it provides food and housing. And that is a lot cheaper than arresting a person. But, you know, the situation is that we have prison investors making the rules in Washington, D.C., in Georgia, in California. These people have prison stock, and they don't want AOT programs. Even though it would be less expensive for the taxpayers, they're not in favor of the mentally ill having housing and having food stamps and having continuous psychiatric care. They want them to do something wrong because if they go back to prison, that's more money for them. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. They want to do for the ones that they want to do for. Like they want to do approve this marijuana drug. But my thing is approve something right for the mentally. They have always been mental. They deserve love, respect, and rights. They have rights. So I think that it's wrong that they just deny them or act like it's not a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem. They need to have bans or IDs. They kill them. They call to their house when they're going through something, and the first thing the police do is they shoot a mentally ill person.
I'm locked up in the garage. I can't get out.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I agree with you 100%. And it is awful the way the mentally ill are being kept in a trap to revolve in and out of the prison doors as though it's a revolving door. And that is exactly, we're seeing a prime example of it right here today while we talk to Ms. Goolsby about her son. Her son was wrongfully incarcerated. He thought he was signing a plea deal, and he admitted to what he did wrong. What he thought he was agreeing to is that he was wrong to watch an X-rated movie. That's what he thought that he was agreeing to. But the truth is, he was agreeing that he had molested a little boy, his own little half-brother, who came in the room and saw him masturbating. He was so embarrassed with that, and he knew that he had done wrong, he felt, to watch an X-rated movie and masturbate. So he said, but the state of Georgia was using his feeling of remorse to get him the sign that he had molested his little brother. They kept him in jail 7 years. His original sentence was for 5 years and 1 year probation, but somehow it ended up they got to keep him an extra 2 years. I don't know whether they added to his sentence because he's mentally ill and maybe didn't follow prison rules all the time, or what excuse they used to stretch that out. Another 2 years that taxpayers paid for this young man to be in prison. Was he ever in solitary while he was in prison now?
Yes, he was a lot of times. A lot of times. I can't even count the times. I really can't. But I know one good thing about it, he still have a good mind. He still say he loves his daddy in spite of all this mess that have been brought on him by his father. He don't ever want to see him, but he loves him. And to me, that says a lot for who he is and how I have raised him, since I'm such a, ought to be ashamed of a mother.
This mother's telephone number for anyone who can help her get Social Security for her son, who's been getting disability Social Security since he was 5 years old up until the time he went to prison.